This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome, and thank you for joining me. Please open your Bibles, your King James Bibles, to a new book today, the book Philemon, New Testament, Philemon, chapter 1, verse 1. There's only one chapter there. You can say, but we're going to study a complete book of the Bible today. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, on a Sunday, which is April 1st at 5 p.m., for a beautiful picture and word teaching of Christ our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. Scott is joining me, and we're working hard on this, and we're calling it the cross, the blood, and the heart. That would be Sunday, April 1st, 5 p.m., a beautiful presentation. We'll have communion at the end. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m., for the word and prayer. Come Wednesdays for the word, 6 p.m., and prayer. And every Thursday, if you want to stop by every Thursday or some Thursday between 12 noon and 2 p.m., Scott is here with me, and we pray for the sick. Now, a new book tonight, Philemon. One of the things that makes me so happy to teach this to you is this is going to help you. Everyone under the sound of my voice has a purpose and a destiny for your life. And there is a destiny that God planned for you. And some of you say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't think I do anything. The very fact that you are diligently studying with Trumpet of Truth, because we go deeply. We will eventually, if Jesus tarries, give you the whole Bible. I've taught it many times, and we're doing that again. And you get the depth and the anointing. And if you keep seeking the heart of Jesus to abide in the vine and obey him, he will eventually get you into your destiny. So what we're going to learn tonight, that all of you have a destiny. And so that's what you mostly focus on. But there are things that come into your life as you are walking in your destiny, loving the Lord, that you wonder, is this a distraction, or is this thing that seems to take my attention, or is it a part of my destiny? So we know that Paul, the apostle, the great apostle Paul, wrote this by inspiration of Holy Spirit. Paul had great destiny. When Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus and got him converted, Jesus says, you're a chosen vessel. His great purpose was to found all these Christian churches. Remember, there hadn't been a church. They'd had the synagogue now that Jesus had paid the sin debt. And then to write letters to each one of these and tell them how to operate the church and put it in the Bible. And say, look what we have. We've got Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians. We've got this Philemon tonight. We've got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Hebrews. He wrote almost all the New Testament there. That was his greater purpose and destiny to write that. And you and I, 2,000 years later, run to Paul's books to find out how to run the church. So would you say that was a man of destiny?
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to find he seems to be doing something out of character. So let's see what it is to help you.
Scripture on Philemon, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ.
First of all, you want to know that Paul is in a prison in Rome for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did some of his best writing in prison. That's where he wrote. Most of his letters are written in prison. Philemon is written in prison.
And Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer.
Now, since his purpose was to write these letters to these churches that he had founded and get them rooted and grounded in the Word and how to operate a church, this seems a digression. This seems a distraction. He's going to write a letter to a man named Philemon. Philemon's name means affectionate. So that gives us a clue that Philemon is a wonderful man of God. Let me tell you who Philemon was. Philemon had been a lost sinner. Paul had founded a church at Colossae. You have a book there, the Colossians, Epistle to the Colossians. And this man, Philemon, got converted, And Paul taught him and mentored him the Word of God, and then helped him set up a church in his house. So in a way, Paul birthed him. Anytime you get a person saved, you lead them to the Lord, or you help them find their place in the church, or help them find their place of destiny. It's sort of like you birth them. So Paul has a great deal of respect. So he's writing to the man. He's not writing to the church. Unusual, right?
And to our beloved Ephion and Archippus.
Now that would be Philemon's wife and Philemon's son. So Paul knows the family. You've got a good Christian family.
A fellow soldier. And to the church in thine house.
So he's having church. Philemon over there at Colossae was having the church in the house. A lot of times that was the safest thing to do. It was not unusual in Bible time for them to have the church in the house. They would just sign a little, make a little fish sign outside, "Eat tus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior," so the people would know it was Christian. They would come in. So he's writing this letter to a man that Paul converted and is now leading the church there in Colossae. So in Paul's in prison. There's a reason Paul's doing this. And remember, this is about destiny and the things that come against you to make you feel you've gotten distracted.
Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father.
He blesses him.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
One thing you will notice about a man or woman of God, they're going to bless you right away.
Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers.
I'm so grateful that you love God and that you started a church in your house and you surrendered and yielded your life. I just thank God for you. One of the great joys of serving the Lord is to bring someone else in and watch back and watch them how they love the Lord. One of the greatest joys of my life is to watch someone I've mentored and watch them love the Lord. I've said many times, I just love the way you love the Lord.
Verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints.
And not just loving the Lord, but Jesus says, this is how people are going to know you're a Christian, that you love one another. Saints, set aside ones.
Verse 6, but the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing.
Now, he says, I want to give you a little bit of advice. You communicate your faith so well, Philemon, Paul is writing this, and he said it will have more intensity and more fruit, your faith will, your witness when you tell that, if you acknowledge every good thing that God sends your way. All of you know what it's like to have a problem that goes on a long, 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 long time, and you're praying about it, you're praying about it, you're praying about it, and it looks like darkness in a wilderness, darkness in a wilderness, but all of a sudden a little light gleams in the heaven. That's a God hug. That's a God nod. So acknowledge that. Stop writing. Every time it does that to me, no matter what I'm going through, I will still thank you, Father. I know that was you. And you learn to recognize that thanksgiving actually increases. So he says one of the ways that when people see you're in these long periods of hardship, but they see that you still can find something for which to be grateful instead of complaining, then that edifies the faith. That edifies their faith.
In Christ Jesus. Verse 7. For we have great joy in tribulation.
Did you hear Paul? Paul's been shipwrecked. He had a poison snake try to bite him, would have killed him. Paul was beaten 40 stripes minus one, five times, left for dead, did die one time, went to the third heaven age, and came back, and God told him not to write about it. He was persecuted for righteousness, and every time he tried to start a church, they put him in jail. And he says, thank God for persecution. Why can he do that? How can anybody do that? Because Jesus said, blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil things against you. Great is your reward in heaven. Amen. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. Rejoice, jump for joy. Now, some of you on your tombstone, you want them to write, he got along with everybody. She got along with everybody. She never caused any trouble. You poor, boring, bland person. For God's sake, if you're serving God, you're going to make people mad. Just your very presence makes them mad because you're living a pure and holy life and they're not, and that makes them feel guilty. Did you know that? If you aren't making people mad for Jesus, you're not doing any good. You're supposed to stir it up. And that doesn't mean you do it with meanness. You couldn't help it. When you would walk in the door, the power would be on you. You had to open your mouth. Many times I've not opened my mouth. I've just walked into a place and I could see the darks coming because the darkness can see the light and they're afraid of you. So make sure that everybody doesn't like you. If everybody likes you, you're not being liked by God.
Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee.
In Bible times, they used the word bowel. They thought that was the place of emotion. It means like your heart. And he says, all the saints are so refreshed by you. I'm hearing a good report on you at that church in your house, Philemon. So Paul is encouraging. Paul is always an encourager. And he tells us in Hebrews that we ought to encourage one another daily. Did you encourage anybody who's working for the Lord this week? Did you ever think to stop and pick up the phone and tell them they're doing a good job?
Therefore, that I might be much bold in Christ.
Uh-oh. Paul says, okay, with that in mind, I've got something. I'm going to come straight to the point, Philemon. There's a reason I'm writing this letter. There's a reason this is not another one of my Corinthians or my Galatians or my Ephesians.
To enjoin thee that which is convenient. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul, the aged.
Okay. Now, I want you to keep in mind about what I'm about to ask. I'm going to ask you a favor. I want you to notice that I'm not as young as I was. I've been in prison, and I'm getting on up there in years, although I'm still strong. My mind's good. But, you know, a person does eventually go home. So keep in mind that I'm getting older, says Paul.
And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
And if that's not enough, I'm writing this from prison, Philemon. Just thought I'd kind of put that there. This is a man getting older in years. Lord, got you into the ministry. I'm getting older and I'm in prison. Okay, I'm going to ask you a favor. Wonder what Paul's going to ask. Is Paul going to ask something for himself?
Verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus.
Here's why I'm writing this. I want you to do a favor. My son Onesimus. When Paul says my son, this means someone Paul has led to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He called Timothy his son. He would call Philemon his son. Any time that you lead a person to the Lord, it's like you have birthed them. And so there is that connection. That's what he means. Onesimus was a runaway slave. Philemon was his master. Paul had come there to Colossae and preached and got that church going. And Onesimus had peeped around the corner and saw that Paul had something to offer that Onesimus didn't have. And Onesimus thought, life is too short for me to be a slave. I'm going to run away. He ran straight to Paul, who was in another place, and joined Apostle Paul's ministry. Onesimus got converted, and he learned fast. He accepted the Lord. This was the greatest thing ever happened. He learned the word, and he was helping Paul even to take some of the dictation of these letters. So it's a runaway slave that had gotten converted. Now, there's just one thing about that. Paul knows there's a law in the land that if a runaway slave comes to you, the law says you must return the slave to its master. What a hard thing to do, to return a slave back to the master. Philemon is the master, and he's a Christian. Now, Onesimus is a Christian, and Paul is a Christian. How do we handle this?
Whom I have begotten in my bonds. 11.
I've begotten him. I birthed him into the kingdom.
Which was in times past to you unprofitable.
He ran away from you so he couldn't do any work for you.
But now profitable to thee and to me.
He's actually helping me in the ministry, Philemon.
Verse 12. Whom I have sent again, therefore thou receive him.
I'm sending him back to you. And I want you to receive him. And when you receive him, I want you, Philemon, to treat Onesimus just like you would treat me. How would you treat the Apostle Paul? You'd kill the fatted calf. You'd get out the best dishes, all the comforts. You would pray. You would have a good service. Treat him just like it were Paul.
That was mine own bowels. Verse 13. Whom I would have returned with me.
And of course, if I were you, Philemon, what I would do is I would just say, Onesimus, you are free. Go back to Paul. And Paul says, that's what I would do, Philemon, but I'm not telling you what to do.
That in thy stead he might have ministered unto me.
That he might come back and keep working and writing these letters for me. One thing about Onesimus, he was an educated slave. Most of them couldn't read or write. He could. And so we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, why he probably was not like a regular slave.
Bonds of the gospel. 14. But without thy word, would I do nothing.
But I'm not going to, I didn't want to take for granted that you were going to free him. I wanted to do it right, and I want to wait and see what you say about this, Philemon. He is legally your slave.
That my benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly.
He would say in 2 Corinthians 9, don't give a necessity or because you ought to. God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that? Some of you don't get your blessed because you don't know how to give cheerfully. I can't wait to write my tithe out and add a vow and add some more. I can't wait to give to somebody poor. I jump around the room. I just exalt the Lord. He loves a cheerful giver. I want him to love me. I'm cheerful. He loves me. How about you? And if you're moaning, groan, don't even give it. It's no good. If you can't give it with joy, don't. Same thing in helping people. Don't ever do it because you ought to. Do it with love. Then the love will come back to you. If you do it because you ought to, somebody's going to help you because they ought to, and you won't enjoy it a bit.
15. But perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever.
In other words, he's coming back to you now, but he's going to be your forever brother. Philemon, Onesimus, has been made a king and a priest unto God. He's going to live in the house of God forever, just like you and just like the Apostle Paul.
16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, as rather denied specially unto me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the world.
Now he can talk to you about the Bible and you can share this, and he could not share that before.
17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself.
So if you have respect for me, Philemon, in the working and together in the ministry, when he comes, treat him just like you would treat me, which would be treat him well. See, many of those masters would beat the slaves, but I don't think Philemon would have because he's a Christian, but there probably still would have been some punishment.
Verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account.
That's interesting there. This gives us a clue that Onesimus was not a born slave, but there was something called slave indebtedness. If they couldn't pay a debt, they became slave to the person until they could work it out. It sounds like that sort of thing, which is why Onesimus could read and write. And so he said, Paul becomes a type of Jesus. He said, if there's anything left, if you're going to set him free, and he still owes you some money, that's why he became your slave, tell me and I will pay it. And see, Jesus came to pay your sin debt, our sin debt. We had a debt we could not pay. Our blood would not do it. So Jesus paid the sin debt and paid the price. And when Jesus took those 39 stripes on the cross, he said to you, you there with cancer, put this on my tab, whack. And he said, you with arthritis, put this on my tab, whack. And he went right on down. And Jesus said, put it on my tab, put it on my tab, put it on my tab.
19. I, Paul, have written with mine own hand.
Now listen to Paul. I, Paul, have written with mine own hand. All right. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he saw Jesus face to face. Jesus is the light of the world, and Paul became blind. The glaring light blinded him. He was blind 3 days. He recovered a little sight to manipulate, maybe see shadows, but he could never see the letters again. And so, but when he wanted, he said, I'm going to write this part that I am going to pay Onesimus' debt. I'm going to write my name on this piece of scroll. But he would probably have to take a great big pen and write it with great big letters because he can't see the letters anymore. And he's got to write it really big so he won't run over there. I, Paul, will pay this sin debt. And so he writes it with great big letters. That's what he means. And the rest of the letters being dictated.
I will repay it. Howbeit, I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me.
Of course, I could say to you, Philemon, that since I drug you out of the fiery furnace, out of the jaws of hell and death and the grave, I could say that, you know, that you owe me. You know, it's always been human beings, if somebody saves your life, they feel like they owe you. You understand? And it's not necessarily a bad thing. If somebody saves your life, you just feel like you owe them something. And so Paul is tweaking him a little bit. Don't forget, I led you to the Lord. Don't forget you got the church in your house there. Don't forget you got your good life now and your family's safe. made because of me. So, I don't know, maybe you'd just like to cancel the debt, too.
Even thy own self besides. Verse 20. Yea, therefore let me have joy of thee in the Lord.
In other words, it would really make me happy. Paul is not asking let Onesimus be free. He's just saying, I'd like to have joy when I hear the answer to this letter. And Philemon would know what we may call happy. Paul was doing all of this, a man of great destiny, writing half of the New Testament, and yet he took time to write this letter to go into this much energy for a runaway slave.
Refresh my bowels in the Lord.
My heart in the Lord.
21, having confidence in thine obedience, I wrote unto thee knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say.
I've got a lot of confidence in you, Philemon, says Paul. And I believe that you're going to do what I wrote in Ephesians 3:23 to the Ephesians. I'm asking you to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think about Onesimus and about this matter.
Verse 22. But withal, prepare me also a lodging.
Okay, while you're welcoming Onesimus, clean up one of your spare rooms there. Because I'm going to come and see you. Well, how is Paul going to get out of prison to come and visit Philemon and Onesimus?
And I trust that with your prayers I shall be given unto you.
Because you're praying for me to be released and God's going to answer your prayers. So get me a room ready too. And I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you, Philemon. And I'm going to visit Onesimus. And I'm going to make sure that Onesimus is all right. He's covering everything. In other words, Jesus is your atonement. He covers everything. There's not one aspect of your being that God has not already covered. You felt that was a surprise to the Lord about you. He knows all about you.
Verse 23. Yes, send thee Epaphras and my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus and Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers.
In other words, Paul always was so polite. He would always mention these people who were helping Paul in the ministry. None of them was in prison like Paul was, but an honorable mention. And they're working at the church Colossae also.
Verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant.
Paul was writing that, dictating it from the Holy Spirit, and Onesimus, the runaway slave, was writing it down. He heard the whole thing. How touching to his heart to think that Paul loved him enough that he would write this letter and that he would not only write the letter, but he would have it sent and it would defend him. Now, when Jesus came, his destiny was to die on the cross, but he was distracted. A woman said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I would be well. A blind man, Bartimaeus, said, hey, Jesus, son of David, heal thou me. And the leper said, help me. And Jesus was walking in his destiny, and yet he stooped down to hear the crying one. Paul, the apostle Paul, called to write the half of the New Testament, took time to help a runaway slave. Now I will tell you a parable. In the fullness of time, a man and woman worked all the time because they knew their destiny was God. And they did everything for the Lord. Everything was for the Lord. The woman was working full time for the Lord, and she felt something at her feet, and she looked down, and a baby had been cast out into the street. It was bleeding and wounded and freezing and crying. And it was a throwaway. It had been ejected. It had been rejected. And there it was. But the woman was in her destiny. She was in full-time destiny. But even in her destiny, she reached down to the ground and picked up the baby and put it in her bosom and nurtured it. Then the hardest working man in the world, who also was working for the Lord, came to pray. And he said, you've got a baby in your bosom, that's too much for you. I will be the feet, I will be the boots, I will help you. So the hardest working man in the world and the hardest working woman in the world put their gifts together with a lot of frustration, with a lot of doors closing. Sometimes the baby would spit, especially on the woman, would hit and pull hair and cry and beat because it was afraid. But the man and the woman got the baby a safe place. Jesus got you a safe place with everybody pulling at him on the cross. And yes, Onesimus was allowed to go free. He's even mentioned in some of Paul's writing. Every day you walk by, you sit by, you talk to a wounded, broken, bleeding soul. Some of them are dressed in beautiful clothes. They've got their hair all fixed up in nice shoes and nice cars. And they're bleeding. And you walk by them. You do not see them because you are taking care of you. That's not your destiny. What I've found is your destiny is also all of these challenges that are put in our path to see what we are made of. Are we really going to do it like the Bible says, or is that just a book you read and put it on the shelf? The tallest soul in the room is the soul that will swoop down to the floor and pick up the smallest soul in the room. God bless you. So Onesimus was free. Next week, we're going to begin another new book. That was good. You said the whole book there. Go and do likewise. We're going to study the beautiful book of the Song of Solomon, the greatest love story ever told. Tell everybody. Everybody thinks it's going to be sex-rated. No, you're going to find out. This is the most beautiful book in the Bible, and God has gifted me to teach it, so don't miss it. Tell everybody about it next week. Well, right now, it's time for a mystery moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That was a beautiful book.
Thank you.
I can't wait for Song of Solomon.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Okay, our first question. Were you shocked to hear of a secret society this week on the news about Washington, in Washington?
I was not at all shocked to hear about the secret society. As a matter of fact, I have known for many years that they have that. The elite there, both parties gather together. They're all about power and control. And they, behind the scenes, actually select the president. They select the one that's going to do their bidding. They ran up against an immovable wall. They were not able to do anything with President Trump because God sent him, and he's got God swinging in his path there. But no, they haven't. They're very evil, actually. It's very demonic. They seem to be, very rich and elite, but they're very evil. It's very demonic. There are some words I could use. I don't think I can use them on the air, but they are from the devil. So no, that's been going on a long time in Washington. It's just really like one party controlling there, but they're being controlled by demonic forces.
Yeah, it's Satan's work. Mm-hmm. Okay, our next question. Is the raiser of taxes in Daniel 11:20 ever going to get his comeuppance?
Yes, the raiser of taxes of Daniel 11:20. I taught Daniel on this radio. About time to teach it again. He's going to get his comeuppance. It says, but within a few days he shall be destroyed. He came in the glory of the kingdom like Messiah. Raiser of taxes, raised everybody's taxes. Yes, because the mills of the God grind slowly, but they grind through Alexander Pope. Bit by bit, the sin is being unraveled, the nakedness is being shown, and all roads lead to the viper's head.
Yeah.
He's going to get his comeuppance, yes.
Yeah, I said the other day, death by paper cuts. Right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and our last question. Did David really leave his stuff in the cart?
David really left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel really put his stuff in the bag, and it's really time for Scott's stuff.
He is sifting you because you play an important part in God's church in these last days. God is doing a new thing once again in this last generation, and you have been set apart by him to be a powerful witness to many. He has set you free and is preparing you for his eternal purposes. And the greater your gifts, the greater your potential, the greater your surrender to the will of God, the more severe your sifting will be.
Ooh, mercy, mercy. Have mercy.
Yes.
To whom much is given, much is required, more way than one. Thank you very much, Scott Mercy. We appreciate that. That's beautiful. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, you will arise with healing in your wings. And I ask you will send your healing virtue through the airwaves. And I ask that you will fall upon people's heads where kids are hurting. I ask you to fix dementia, and I ask you to fix brain tumors. I'd ask you to go in there and heal eardrums and cause the ears, get the wax out of the ears, get the eardrums in the right place, to heal blind eyes. I ask you to heal jaws and skulls. I ask you to go down the spine, radiating beams of the radiating light of healing virtue down the spine and into the shoulder, the left shoulder, the right shoulder. Let the hand of Jesus massage and make the pain, the tension go out. And into the lower back, let the pain stop there. Pull the knives out and let the pain stop in Jesus' name. The hips and the pelvis and the thighs and the knees and the calf and the feet and the toes. Every organ in the body, the bladder be healed, kidneys be healed, colon be healed, hearts and lungs in Jesus' mighty name. Lupus be gone, Crohn's disease be gone. Divine order in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just lift up your hand and receive the healing. He said he sent his word and healed. He sent it. So receive the healing. In Jesus' mighty name, to God be the glory. Amen. 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 Now my announcer's about to give you my telephone number, so feel free to call me and leave a message and tell me that you were healed. You can leave a message and tell me you love my radio program. I'd appreciate that. Or leave a message, leave a question, or tell me that you were healed or that you were saved. And speaking of saved, let's get saved. Will you pray this after me if you're not saved? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Guide me into all truth.
Guide me into all truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To be a blessing.
Be a blessing.
To all mankind.
To all mankind.
But especially to you, Lord.
But especially to you, Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that in minutes, you'll want to let me know that too. God bless you. Don't forget, April 1st, 5 p.m., the cross, the blood, the heart. Scott and I will have a beautiful worship service for you, word and pictures and communion and so forth. It's going to be beautiful. And every Sunday, 5 p.m., the word and prayer. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. And tell everybody about the radio program, WMIEFM.com, on demand. I've got tons of books on there, so get busy and start studying your Bible. And I hope you were blessed by Philemon today. What a beautiful little jewel. God decided to let him send that and keep that one in the right in the destiny, so I appreciate that very much. Now remember this, whatever you get is not yours to keep, so you're supposed to give it away. So go and tell people the wonderful story of Jesus, how he came and paid your sin debt and what he's done for your life, and bring them in. Until next time, remember that Jesus says thy word is truth, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Sherry Medlock with my twin friend Scott Merson, saying, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Say that I'm not destined to succeed. standing in the winner's circle has its price. I have learned to fight the good fight to the end. And if I had to, I would do it all again. And when the sun goes down, I won't fear the night. I will keep my head toward the sky, knowing that the Lord is on my side.
When you're out there on the edge and the odds you face are like the death, you got to have the heart of a champion. When your time is running out and everybody sees you're going down, you got to have the heart of a champion. When your back's against the wall and your rival thinks you're gonna fall, you got to have the heart of a champion. Heart of a champion.
Come on.
Signs are true. We stand at the edge of something. Will we ever know what it is? Hold on, 'cause the wind is rising and we can't get away from it. We're in shock from the failed emotion. No cause in a shadowed land. And we sing while the city's burning. With no room, no escape, no plan. We never thought it would end this way. And we need a hero to save us from ourselves. We need a hero to save us from ourselves. To save us from ourselves. Takes the violence and we watch as the giants fall. We're not gonna let it end this way. We need a Save us from ourselves, save us from our fear. When the sirens wail, we need a hero.
Times I fell, your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Remains the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Cries my heart and my soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
stolen. Now you say that it ain't worth staying. You wanna run, but you're hesitating. I'm talking to me.
You got something to say. Come question here. Would anybody miss you if you disappeared? Well, your life is the song that you sing, and the whole wide world is listening.